Good morning, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's so good to be here worshiping the Lord together with you. I want to say the word of appreciation and thanks to God and to all of you who have been praying for us, especially for Rosie. Many of you are aware that she has been very ill for 2 months, unable to do anything for herself. And by the grace of God, today she's able to walk, she's able to do things for herself. As a result, it frees me to have more time to do what God wants me to do. This morning, the topic given to me is a continuation of the Sermon of the Mount. The title given to me is "To How to Live Righteously," taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 12. Maybe we need to recap a little bit what is the Sermon of the Mount, what it is all about. Let me very quickly recap it without using the from the scripture. First of all, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his followers or disciples what true righteousness is compared to false righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Secondly, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus set the rules and determined what was holy and unholy. Thirdly, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described laws and spiritual principles to govern the lives of people living in his kingdom. Fourthly, Jesus relates his life and teaching to the Old Testament and the prophets. And he said he came to fulfill the laws and the prophets and not to destroy them. Last summary, I would think that the scribes and the Pharisees hated Jesus because he exposed the shallowness and deceit in their teaching and in their lives. What is righteousness? True righteousness and false righteousness. In the Sermon of the Mount, again in a summary way, let me just very quickly compare the two. The righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribe and the teaching of Jesus on righteousness. Righteousness is the first inward, inward and then outward. It's not an outward show. But the Pharisees and the scribe would describe it, righteousness is a matter of outward acts. And secondly, sin is a matter of the heart, not only the actions. But the Pharisees and the scribe would say, sin is mainly in outward actions only. And thirdly, Jesus said, righteousness is for God to see and not for man to praise. Whereas the scribe and the Pharisees were said, want to be seen by men, the way they pray, the way they do things. They want to gain the favor and also the praise of men. Fourthly, to Jesus, righteousness, true righteousness is God first and money second. The values, our values are measured in terms of eternity and not just the now. Whereas the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisees is covetousness. And today our message taken from chapter 7 said not to judge, but the Pharisees and the scribe judge harshly. The passage given to me today is about relationship. Right relationship first with God and then relationship with people around us. Let me read the scripture before I go into to talk about it. First, I would like to invite you to turn the Bible to Judges, to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way, you judge others, you will be judged. And you will and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the specks of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw a purse to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Our Father, we want to turn to you at this time and ask, O God, that you will use your word to speak to us and minister to our hearts. Speak, O Lord, and help us to listen and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the scripture in this passage of scripture talk about judging, later on talk about praying, and then finally is the area talk about the golden rule. The most famous verse in the Bible is don't judge. I think John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the church. I grew up with that. But I tell you today, the most widely used verse, of course, people cannot quote where this verse comes from, chapter 7, verse 1. Just I misread it, chapter 7, verse 1, talks about don't judge and you will not be judged. The way you judge, you know, the same way people will judge you. Yeah, yes, this is something that all of us often people bombard us with, don't judge me, you know. Often Christians receive that and they use these words to criticize Christians who they believe are hypocritical and they are also judgmental. In some cases, they are right, actually. Many of us live hypocritically. But here, the word judge actually describes to distinguish or to discern, you know, to discern or to decide mentally concerning a person or come to a conclusion of a person, about a person or about a topic, making a judgment. Yes, many of us are hurt in our family, in our church, in the places where we work, because a lot of people judge us. And the way they judge us is very harsh, you know. So this piece of literature, what Jesus taught about judging, is not to judge people with pride, arrogance, and evil intent in our hearts. And sometimes we judge people with a superior attitude. I'm smarter than you. I know more than you. Therefore, I can pass judgment on you. Or some even worse situation is that they act as if they are the judge. They act as if they are God themselves. Yeah, all of us go through this pain of being judged all the time. In fact, two Saturdays ago, one of the church members came to me and talked about this. He said, one person make a very sweeping statement. He said, all you Christians are hypocrites, you know. Well, that's what Jesus is trying to say. Don't judge in that way. But a lot of people thought that Christians, therefore, shouldn't be judged. We shouldn't go around judging people. And they use that as a baseline of love. You know? If you judge people, you don't love people. But that's not true. Many of us are guilty of being judgmental as we base our judgment on the outward appearance of people. James said, you know, if people reach come to our church, you know, you let him sit in front. No, poorer people, well, you go to the back, you know, sit on the floor. We judge people by their outward thing, you know. Or we judge people with our preconceived ideas, what we call being prejudiced against people. I take different groups of people to different parts of our region. I heard people say, oh, these people are very dirty and they are very smelly. Well, that is not a fair statement, prejudice. Some of us judge people by our own experience. We have experienced terrible things, therefore, we use the same type of a mode of judgment to judge someone else. I heard a phrase often used, you know, put yourself in their shoes before you judge people. I think one American comedian, Jack Hardy, He said, before you criticize someone, walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you are a mile away and you will have their shoes. I think that's quite different. Not only wear their shoes, but wear their shoes and walk for a while, you know, then you pass your judgment. Pass your judgment. Scripture is very interesting. It said, why do you judge people? The way we judge people is from our own standard, how we used to judge them. We like to put our judgment and we want to, as if we know all the details of that situation, and we try to put it to them and make it difficult for others. Judgment have a way of boomerang, or judgment boomerang. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And that's very interesting. When we judge ourselves, we tend to give excuses for ourselves. Well, I just make a mistake. But when we look at somebody's mistake, we judge them very harshly. Well, you always make the same mistake. I think this is especially true in our homes and between husband and wife. Many situations I heard the husband and wife in my presence arguing and fighting over their relationship. Often, many of these things is very judgmental in nature. They question the motives, they question the heart matter of the person, which we don't see at all. We look only the outside of a person, but God looks deep into our hearts. So be careful when you pass judgment. And same thing when we come before God, you know, we beg God for forgiveness. God, be gracious to me. You know, we ask for truckloads of grace from God. But when we do that to others, we only give spoonful of grace to people. A big difference how we look at ourselves, our mistake. But when we judge the mistakes of others, we become very harsh. We become very unreasonable. Judging others, he says, you know, how you judge others, you will be judged. In other words, if you judge people very fairly, others will judge you fairly. There are two Bible examples. I find it is very interesting. One is taken from Judges chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. Maybe many of us will have read these, but somehow it escaped us. Here talks about a king. Let me read from chapter 1 of Judges, verse 4. He said, when the men of Judah attacked, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And they killed 10,000 enemy warriors at the town of Bezek. And while at Bezek, they encountered King Adonai Bezek and fought against him, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites were defeated. Adonai Bezek escaped, but the Israelites soon captured him and cut off his thumbs and his toes. Very interesting. Why catch a man, you know, and cut off his thumbs and his toes, you see? Have you ever asked? Sometimes you read the scripture, it's very interesting, huh? Yeah, I was told that, or at least to studies, they say when your thumb cut off, you cannot hold things. You try holding a ball with your four fingers, you see. You cannot do that. But here, when you cut off your toes, they say that you cannot run fast, you cannot keep your balance too. But why do the Israelites cut off these kings, you see, thumbs and toes, you see? Well, listen to the following verses. Adonai Bezek said, I once, listen carefully, had 70 kings with their thumbs and their big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table. And now God has paid me back for what I did to them. They took him to Jerusalem and he died there. Oh, now you understand. This guy used to do that to others, you know. 70 leaders, kings and leaders, he say. He just cut them off their toes and their thumbs, you see. And now it boomerangs back to him. Well, be careful when you pass judgment to someone else, especially husband and wife fights, you know. Sometimes you are too harsh to each other. Now, there's another wonderful example in the book of Esther. You don't read the Old Testament, you miss some of the very beautiful writings of the Old Testament, record down. Great learning for all of us. Esther became the queen because the first queen was sacked in that sense, and she replaces this Jewish, and the cousin brother Mordecai actually works in the court of the king. And one guy just hated Mordecai by the name of Haman. The reason is that, you know, each time Haman walked through the streets, he said everybody will bow and kneel and worship him, but Mordecai refused to do that. And as a result, this Haman hated him and found ways to get rid of him. And finally, he got the favor of the king, you know, Artaxerxes. And he wanted to kill not only Mordecai, but all the people of Mordecai, the Jewish people. And the story ended up in a very interesting way. Haman actually got his way. He got the date fixed, everything fixed, and he even thought the king was love him so much, will favor him, what he wanted to do. But he did not know that what he wanted to do to Mordecai boomerang back to him. Again here, Esther heard about this, and Mordecai told her, if you don't do something now, not only the people outside will die, you know, even you will die. In times like this, God put you here for a very unique purpose. Very, very famous saying of Esther said, if I die, I die, you know. Because going to the king is not, you can just go in anytime you like, any way you like, only when you are invited. But Esther said, if I die, I die. Even, and she received favor from the king. And the king asked, what do you want? Even half of the kingdom, I will give it to you. No, I just want to have dinner, especially dinner for Haman one time. And after the dinner, what do you want? You know, he said, well, invite him again. And the third time, Esther revealed that this man actually wanted to kill me and all the Jews involved. And the king was very angry. He walked out. And Haman actually stayed back to kneel, or even in this sense, the kneel on the couch where Esther was. But when the king returned back, you know, he was so angry seeing, are you trying to do something to my wife or to my queen? And that's where it boomerangs. And earlier, Haman actually built a gallows 75 feet high, you know, to hang his enemy, Mordecai. And that same gallows he made was to hang him. Again here, you see very clearly, be careful how you judge others, because your judgment can boomerang on you. When we are in trouble, we ask God, we beg God to pour out his mercy upon us in truckloads, as I say. But when we do it to others, when they make mistake, we give only spoonful. The New Testament talks about what you reap, what you sow, will what you reap. Proverbs 26, verse 27 say, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. Now, does it mean that a Christian shouldn't judge? The scripture have this to admonish us. It says, judge ourselves before we judge others. Don't just keep looking at somebody's faults, you know, finding faults with people, having a critical attitude of others. He said, why do you look at a speck or a sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? But this is a very ridiculous illustration, huh? Now, remember, this is the carpenter's workshop. Jesus grew up there. Sawdust is everywhere, and a beam, you know. Talk about a plank, it's just like a big stick, you know, sticking out in your eyes. And you cannot see. I thank God. God has removed the stick from my eyes recently. I have a cataract operation, and I was told, you know, it has blocked your vision. That's why I have difficulty seeing, you know. And that cataract is right behind your eyeball. You need to take it away. And they did, and I'm glad, you know. One eye can see perfectly. This eye is going to be done on the 5th again. Hopefully, my eyes will be able to see clearly and be able to clear my own lock so that I will see and be able to understand people better. So he says that, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eyes, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your eyes, your brother's eye. Now this is so where all the troubles in our homes, even in our church, in groups of people happen. When we fail to see ourselves, but you only can see the mistakes of someone else. I appeal to you, especially during this COVID season, where we are locked inside in close proximity in our homes. I think the paper said there are 17,000 over divorces during this period of time. It's very sad, where husband and wife only see the mistakes, the faults of the other party, and they don't see how they contributed to the troubles in the home. This is true also in churches sometimes, where we only see others who are doing wrong things, you know, but we don't see our own plank in our own eyes. In actual fact, all of us are like that. We tend to magnify the problem, mistakes of others, but we minimize our own. Jesus is pointing out the hypocrisy in our judgment of others when we don't deal with our own sin first before we judge others. So he said, Jesus don't allow us to judge people. That's not true. In fact, the next verses of scripture, it say, dogs, pigs, and pearls, you know, it talks about. What are all these? The scripture bring out, let's read this and see. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they will trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What has that to do with judging? In fact, Jesus here make a judgment. You know, there are dogs, there are pigs. When we talk about dogs and pigs in this context, it's not the pet dog in your home. This scripture was written, the dogs are wild scavenger. They are wild and they are ferocious. The pigs are untouchable. They are also wild running all over. They are unclean elements. So, the Bible talks about, you know, don't give holy things, you know, to the dogs. Don't throw pearls, you know, to the pigs. Why? Because they can turn around and they will attack you. They will bite you. You know what Jesus is trying to say? Use your discernment in judging. I encounter a lot of problems when leaders make decisions, especially in using money, involved with evangelism, in missions. There are people who are very, on one extreme, say, doesn't matter how much money, you know, as long as we bring people to the Lord is good enough. But on the other extreme, then said, you know, if I can use $1 to bring people to Christ, why should I use so much money? Who are you trying to reach, you know, you give so much money? So potentially, even COVID-19, you know, we have wonderful program, but potentially it's a conflicting situation. There are people who are for it, people who are against it. But I thank God the church united ourselves together and we agree to do. But Jesus made that judgment about the Pharisees and the scribes, calling them dogs, calling them pigs. Wow, this is very harsh judgment in actual fact. And not only that, Jesus called them, you know, blind guides, you know, whitewashed tombs, and called them fools, called them generation of vipers and hypocrites. But these are judgmental statements of Jesus. Well, we are called to make sound judgment. We need to discern as people of God, you know, yeah, we can make judgment and not just simply passing judgment. I think there are two different things to me. Making judgment, in fact, all the time we make judgment every day. You get up from bed, you make some judgment, you make some discernment, you know. Daily, we are making judgment. But not passing judgment without critical thinking, without understanding the situation, and we just simply judge people critically, harshly, but not righteously. So the scripture said Jesus didn't forbid us making judgment, sound judgment. How do we actually do the right way how to judge? Jesus actually himself judged this passage of scripture alone, you know, shows us that he makes some judgment about these hypocrites. Is that wrong to make judgment? No, I think it's nothing wrong. But the way we make judgment must based on truth, facts, and more so based on the Word of God. Let's find out the whole story before we start attacking people. Find it out, you know. Spend some time discovering, you know, what went wrong, you know, why. Ask questions. And then, is it truthful, what is being said? Well, that's necessary. And what about the Word of God? What did God say about things like this? How do we judge in the light of the Word of God? If we ever make judgment, I think we need to make with respect. We need to respect people. It doesn't matter who they are. They may not measure up to us, but it doesn't matter. But we need to treat them with deep respect. Even we may not agree with them, we still need to respect their views. In other words, we need to judge people with humility. So three things I hope you will keep in mind when we do make judgment. Not just passing judgment with no depth of understanding, but with some depth. Prayerfully understand the situation. Seek the Word of God for enlightenment. Do it with respect and love, with humility. Well, this has to do with another thing. When you talk about this purse, you know, it's about the gospel, actually. To me, the sowing of the seed, you know, the purse and so on. Know your audience. We need to know who you are working with. You need to motivate it with love for people when you sow the seed. And also focus on Jesus. Don't start arguing with people. Begin and follow up with prayer and led by the Spirit. And especially when to stop this project of evangelism or this mission program. That's where Jesus said, you know, don't do things just indiscriminately. Make some sound decision, especially investment in mission work. I'm sure you have been to places where you pour in many years of work, hours and hours and a lot of money, but there's no receptive hearts at all. Whereas there are many other places that show a great interest and receptive heart. In fact, Jesus again said, you know, you go to a village, go to a town where nobody receive you, but he said, take up your shoe and dust and then walk on to another place. That's a make a judgment. The parable of the seed say not every type of soil are receptive. Only the good soil are receptive. So we pray that God will give us that type of discernment, even in serving the Lord in the area of evangelism, in the area of personal evangelism and mission too. I heard someone talking to me, you know, Pastor, since I became a Christian, this is a lady, since I became a Christian, I'm very excited, you know, to tell people about Jesus, and I'm trying to witness to my husband. In fact, every time I see him, I will talk about Jesus. I say, how did your husband react to such an approach? He said, my husband actually loved seeing me. You know, every time, oh, you better back off, you know. Well, I told this lady, Peter said, you know, live a life that is pleasing to God, huh? And you can win him hands down, literally. Huh? Not just by words, but how you live your life as a Christian, as a person who believe in Jesus, and the old person is gone and now the new has come in to stay, you know. Your husband can see clear changes in your life. It's not just badgering him day after day, you know. Every meal you sit down and you force him to listen to Jesus. Now, that's not what it's all about. But here, same thing. Don't throw pearls to pigs. Don't give holy things to dogs. I think we need a lot of wisdom as a church, as a leaders of the church, as we make decisions of this nature. Well, this ends up the first section about don't judge. If we do judge, we judge with love, grace, and mercy. We are not God. We don't understand every situation, and we shouldn't play God for that matter. God is the final judge. If we do judge, we need to judge very carefully or make judgment very carefully and lovingly. The second area in this passage of Scripture is talking about prayer. Now, there are other passages in the Sermon on the Mount talk about prayer, so I will go very quickly on this part of it. It said, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread and give him a stone, or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Well, here actually, Jesus talked about prayer in a comparison with Earthly Father and our Heavenly Father. Notice, this passage of Scripture, the whole Sermon on the Mount, is not talking about evangelism, but by talking about people who have been saved now, they are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are not in heaven yet, but we are walking on the way to heaven. While on the way to heaven, we are challenged to learn how to give judgment. We are challenged to how to live the golden rule after this section. How can we love others as we love ourselves? Yeah, the comparison of an earthly father to an heavenly father. Yeah, prayer is about relationship with God our Father. It is about communion with our Father in heaven. Followers of Jesus are citizens of the kingdom. We are followers of Jesus, are also sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. This reminds me on our medical mission. When we go to Cambodia and other places, we have a registration, and then when they call their numbers, our team doctors will take care of them. As they go out, before they take them, they will take the medicine. Before they leave that little space, you know, the last person will say, do you know how to take this medicine? And I always teach them to share the gospel then. I said, you need to know how to pray. But doctors can give you medicine, but God really heals. And then I said, there are a lot of children here. Huh? Who is your son or daughter sits outside there? You know? Well, you can ask God. If God is your father, he listened to your prayer very attentively. It's just like your children waiting out there and you have a piece of sweet here, you know. If many children out there will ask for sweet, who will you give? Very rightly, they say, I'll give to my daughter just out there, you know. Yes, we are children of God, you know. We want to, God hears our prayer because we have a relationship with Him. The Bible says, as many as who receive Him, God give us the authority to be His child. And with that authority, we can approach God in prayer. So here the scripture says, if our biological father, even sinful and selfish in nature as they are, knows how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our loving Heavenly Father will give good gifts to you. Yes, that's what it is in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Say, if you sinful people, parable passage, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Well, here talks about God gives us the things we ask. But one of the things that God will give us is the Holy Spirit. The things that the Sermon on the Mount, we are supposed to live up those ethical values. Without the Holy Spirit living in our life, absolutely there is no way to carry those things out. And we really need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our life so that we can see God at work in the most wonderful way. This prayer also talk about we need to consistently and we need to go on asking God, you see. The prayer here talks about knock, seek, ask, seek, and knock. It tells us these are in present tense, you know, actually. Should translate, keep knocking, keep asking, and keep seeking, and keep knocking. Or we can say that each time we come before God, you see, our prayer should increase in intensity, in consistency, and also in persistency. Don't stop, but keep on asking, you know. Keep on praying to God. So, but this prayer actually have a promise that God will keep. He said, it promises what? Ask will be given, seek will find, knock it will be open to you. Yes, we thank God we have that privilege to come before God. Some say that, how come I pray so much? I don't see God answering my prayer. Well, the Bible says sometimes we may ask amiss, but about prayer is that we must pray according to the will of God, not just one our way. God is wiser than us. He knows before and He knows after, and He knows exactly where you are. It's just like a good father, you know. He knows when is the best time to give you what. So let us come to God in that way, you know. We have a Heavenly Father who actually loves us enough, who cares for us and continue to lead us and guide us into the truth and to do things that can will honor Him. And this leads us to the last point here, the golden rule. The golden rule, the last word of verse 12 of chapter 7. The law was a guide to lead people into the loving God and into loving people. Let me read that verse again. So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This NIV. Some don't have the soul. New King James have another verse to another word to introduce this verse. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. The Amplified Bible says, so then, in everything, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the essence of the law and the writings of the prophets. Modern paraphrase, I like the message, say, here is a simple rule of thumb. Guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do to you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. Well, You go back to the earlier introduction of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 17, and compare to this verse 7, verse 12. The two verses are like bookends, you know, that encompasses all the teaching in between. It actually has a wonderful way to help us to see what Jesus is driving at. And Jesus said, you know what, don't misunderstand why I have come. Chapter 5, verse 17. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. And chapter 7, verse 12 said, do others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. But you notice that in the law, the prophets, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, you know. And here, another rule is that, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep that, you know, but Jesus said, you know, all these are combined into one golden rule, however we are going into. The golden rule simply states, you know, do to others what you have others do to you. Well, some say this is nothing new. Even people long before Jesus' time, you know, have come to this, other religious teachers and so on. But all the past, they use a negative approach. But here Jesus used a positive approach. Jesus said, you know, if you want people to do to you, you know, you first do to them first. But this is a very positive approach in living and life. In actual fact, it sets you free. I remember when I was a young person learning how to do business with my dad. It's around during this time, during the new Mooncake Festival. It's about 16 years old or 17 years old. My dad gave me 200 ringgit then. It was a big sum for me those days. He said, you can do whatever you want, but you need to pay me back the capital. You make profit, that's yours. Now, my dad didn't say that you don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But he said, you're free to use this money. But I thank God, don't know how a lot, but I bought, Mangalambu is famous for peanuts. You know, I bought peanuts. During the festive season, a lot of people buy mooncakes. They will have peanuts to go along with it. And during a Saturday, you know, I can sell 50 packs and 100 packs, you know. Just standing at the gate of the market, $1, you know. Yaman, you know. Well, I can sell. And then I noticed, you know, Lenten's is very good profit. I went to this, the Chinese called Jija Tim, and I bought some very lovely one. And I thought to myself, it's so easy. I saw them making with the nails, with a design, come back, and then just paste it up. Well, not as pretty as they can do, but I always see rich people can buy the very lovely ones, but they are poor families. I say, well, this is very nice too for children, you know, but you save only half of the price. You save the other half. The nice one I use to attract people to come in to see, but I promote my own lanterns, you know. Well, since then, this has been a wonderful principle that I've learned in my life, and I use this a lot in mission. I use what I have and the freedom to use. And this is exactly what Jesus said to us, you know. Not just don't do this, don't do that, you know. In our home, we have a lot of problems as parents to children. Don't do this, don't do that, you know. But what about trying to think about, you know, teach our children, do this, or you are free to do. Guide them and lead them. You set them free to be what God wants them to be. Our role is to guide them, and our role is to continue to help them to exercise this wonderful experience. If you want people to treat you well, first treat others well. Especially appeal to husband and wife. If you want your wife to treat you well, you first treat your wife well. You want your wife to respect you, you also learn to respect your wife. Children is the same thing. Learn is mutual. If you want things, you know, learn to do to others as you want others to do to you. Take the initiative first and don't start quickly condemning others around you. You are always like that, you know. Well, that's a very judgmental statement. Every time, you know, you say something is like that, you know. Are you very hurtful? And is passing judgment and not making judgment. May God help us to look at these three things in our daily living. How do we make judgment? How do we pray? You know, all these are linked together. Without prayer, I doubt we can do it. Without the Spirit living in our transformed life, I doubt we can follow this to learn how to make judgment wisely and how we can love others and how we can do good things to people and how it can return to us. To end my message this morning, I'd like us to spend some time reflecting on this message. A righteous living starts from the heart. Have you get right with God in your heart? Is your heart right with Him? Is your heart right with your husband, your wife, your children? It's inside. Start from there, you know. On the way to heaven, this is what I said. This passage of Scripture, Sermon on the Mount, is about citizens of the kingdom of God, huh? On our way to the eternal kingdom, or earthlings, you know, believing in Jesus, looking forward to our heavenly hope. He said we need to be holy, humble, be compassionate, and be wise in the area of judgment, in the area of our daily lifestyle. Watch out for the locks. They are more dangerous than the dogs to me. Don't just look at the sins of others, the shortcomings of others, but deal with our own shortcoming first and ask God to be gracious to us and help us to look at ourselves before we pass judgment on others. This call for examination. Examine yourself. Identify the locks that hurts your relationship with your spouse, with your parents, or between children and parents, or between even siblings living in the same house, or in our own church setting too. We need to be real followers of Jesus, not just giving lip service to Him. We need to really be genuine Christian, or genuine people following what Jesus taught us to do. By our own strength, there's no way we can do it. But relying on the Spirit of Jesus living in us, we will be more than conquerors. So, does that matter to you? Living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. So it's not just about teaching, but how to practice this teaching in our daily walk with Him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this word that spoken to us today. Help us, O Lord, to come to You to confess our own shortcomings and ask, O Lord, that You be gracious to us. As You have forgiven us, O Lord, help us to forgive those we have a terrible relationship with. Lord, we have been hurt by judgment. We have been hurt by others who are very unkind. But Lord, give us the grace to forgive. As You have forgiven us, O Lord, give us the courage, give us the strength to forgive, especially those in our own household. I pray for many families, O Lord, who are struggling with relationship as husband and wife, as siblings, as children and parents, O Lord. O Lord, be gracious to our home. Protect our home from the evil one. And help us, O Lord, to live out this teaching in our lives so that we can give glory and honor to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.